I greet you this morning in the worthy name of Jesus. A blessing to be here today. Welcome each one to our service. I'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18 for a text verse. Titled the message this morning is Thankfulness, Thinking of Thanksgiving. A very familiar verse here, 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." When I look back in my records, I don't remember what the date or what the year was anymore, but it's been a long time since I've preached a Thanksgiving message at the home church here. It wasn't so long ago that I preached a Thanksgiving message at prison. But, you know, in thinking of that, I feel like that's an area that I really need to brush up in to be more thankful. Maybe having more of the mentality of the pessimist, you know, that's something that I struggle with, and seeing the bad in life versus the optimist and seeing the good in life. And if you'll allow me, I'd like to relate my favorite story again concerning pessimists and optimists. There was once this couple that had twin boys, and you know, they were just as opposite as night and day. One was a born pessimist, and the other was a born optimist. So they thought that they would take care of that once and for all. So they took one room and they filled it with a lot of new toys. And they put the pessimist in that room. And they took another room and they put horse manure in there. And they put the optimist in that room. They let him in there for a little while. And they came in to the room where the pessimist was. They opened the door and he was in there crying. And they wonder what's wrong. So I'm just thinking about the time when all these toys are going to be broken. And so they went over to the room where the optimist was. They opened the door, and he was in there just gleefully digging in that horse manure. And they wondered, well, what are you doing? He said, well, with all this horse manure in here, there's got to be a pony in here somewhere. So, you know, the point is that a lot of times our mentality, the things that we accustom ourselves to and the choices that we make, you know, it determines in how we look at things in life. And in this verse here, it is saying that we should give thanks in everything. So this is saying that no matter what life or what God brings to us, allows to come in our lives, that we should be thankful in that. So, you know, whether it's financial loss, setback that we'd have, whether it's trials that we go through, tribulations that we face, temptations that we endure, persecution, sickness, or even death, it is saying that we should give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. This is God's will that you do that. And I had to think of Job when he had lost pretty much all of his livestock, most of his servants, and all of his children. He said that the Lord gave and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His faith was still in God in the middle of that. And you know, to bless the name of God would mean to praise God, which would be an attitude of gratitude, a thankful spirit. How many of you here today feel that you have reached this, have attained this in verse 18, that you can have come to the point that you can pretty much always give thanks to God for everything that God brings in your life? If you feel like you've attained that, raise your hand. I don't see any hands. I mean, I don't think that's something that we'll attain here. It's not something that's easy, that's for sure. I don't think like it's like a battle that we can win one time. And I'm sure that if I would ask for a raise of hands for those of you who have had a situation in life where there was something that was not easy to be thankful for, but yet you thought that through and you prayed through that and you came through with gratitude, you could probably raise your hand that you had an experience like that. But it's not a one-time battle that you win today and then you're on a plateau and for the rest of your life it's just easy. And no matter what comes in your way, that you're thankful. But that's what this verse is saying, that it is God's will that we give thanks in everything that comes our way. You know, being able to let go when things go wrong. You know, to not demand fairness in life, to not demand my rights, is something that is probably going to be a lifelong struggle as long as we are here on this side of heaven. Something that we're probably all faced with. And we need help in that battle, don't we? I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 12 through 15. It says, speaking of Jesus, it talks about how these animals were burned without the camp. And it says in verse 12, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." When I look at this, I see Jesus, who it says that he, so that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, he suffered without the gate. He went outside. He bore my reproach, your reproach, and he is saying here that we should also now go forth unto him. We should identify with him. And, you know, when we look at the humility that we see in the life of Jesus, humility brings about thankfulness. You know, when we recognize our insufficiency, our need, and then Jesus can work that work of regeneration in our heart. And it is through the aid of the Holy Spirit that we can come to the place where we more often give thanks in every situation, even when it's an unpleasant circumstance or something that our flesh views as unpleasant. But the Bible says that God will not withhold any good thing from those who love him or those who walk with him, the righteous people. He says he will not withhold any good thing from them. So what we view as unpleasant circumstances all often may be, in the eyes of God, actually a pleasant circumstance. In other words, because of the fruit that it will bring about in our lives. So I believe that the spirit of gratitude that we can have in the unpleasant things, the unpleasant circumstances in life, are only possible by the aid of the Holy Spirit, by the work of regeneration, by being born again. The part of God that God reaches down and puts within us, that is the part of us, the new man, that can give thanks in everything. The old man, you know, that the old man just sees the here and now, where the new man, the mind of Christ, sees the things that we don't see, the eternal things. And that is what makes the difference of whether we can be thankful or not. Jesus told Paul that his grace is sufficient for him, and that his strength, the strength of Jesus, is made perfect in Paul's weakness. And Paul's testimony then was in 2 Corinthians 12:10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So he recognized his need. He recognized that he was insufficient of himself, but that Christ's grace was sufficient. And that is what brings about thankfulness, gratitude. You know, when we recognize our neediness, our need that we have, it helps to cultivate gratitude and thankfulness. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose." If we believe that verse, that all things, no matter what it is that comes our way, is somehow God working for my good, when we really believe that, it will help us with that spirit of gratitude, of thankfulness. You know, when I don't believe, I see this thing coming at me, and I see it as being unfair, or in some way being maybe even God working against me, you know, that is the flesh. That is Satan that wants us to believe that, that God is somehow working against me. Well, that is false, and that will bring about a spirit of discontent, a spirit of unthankfulness, versus the Spirit of God will confirm within our spirit that this thing that is coming my way, just like it did with Job, that this is somehow God working for my good to his glory. And when we see that and we believe that, it brings about thankfulness. You know, God, I don't understand this, but I believe you. I trust you. I know that you are right, that you are good. And no matter what this is, like Job's testimony is, even if you kill me, yet I will trust you. I will still believe in you, even if you take my life. This mortal's going to put on immortality. You know, there is something else far better than the life I have here. And we know that God knows all that. So thankfulness is so much dependent on our attitude. And I had to think again of what I shared in prison Wednesday evening about Murphy's Law. Murphy's Law is what can go wrong will go wrong. And here, a number of months ago, I had a conversation with a customer of ours. His name is Doug. And he said that, you know, you're aware of Murphy's Law, but he said, I live by Doug's Law. And he said, Doug's Law is 20 times worse than Murphy's Law. And I don't know how he figures that, but to me, that is all about attitude. You know, his attitude, he had the attitude of the pessimist, that no matter what I do, what I buy, I'm going to have a problem with it. And you know, probably 9 times out of 10, when you go looking for something, you're going to see it. You go out there looking for a green car, you're going to find green cars everywhere. You go out there looking for trouble, you're going to find trouble. When you go out there looking for bad, you're going to find bad. You go looking for evil, you're going to find evil. When you go looking for good, you're going to find good. When you go look for darkness, you're going to find darkness. When you go look for light, you're going to find light. Whatever it is you're looking for, that's what you're going to find. You'll see the good if you look for the good. I would like to read an article that was written by Christy Wright. And it's on DaveRamsey.com. And if you would like to read this, look it up, or let me know and I can give you a copy of this as well. But Christy Wright wrote this article, 10 Reasons I'm Thankful for Thankfulness. And I thought this was pretty good, pretty good read. Number one, thankfulness improves relationships. Everyone has a need and desire to be appreciated. Spouses, children, parents, friends, co-workers, even the strangers we meet in passing. So when we express gratitude for them, we not only meet their needs and lift their spirits, but we also improve the quality of our relationships with them. Number two, thankfulness creates contentment. Media messages are constantly telling us to buy more, do more, look like this, or act like that. With so much distraction, it can be difficult to appreciate what you have right now. But by choosing to be thankful, you can ignore these messages and embrace contentment. Number three, thankfulness feels good. You know how happy we feel around Thanksgiving. We can continue to feel that way long after the turkey and dressing are gone. How? All we have to do is count our blessings and turn our hearts and thoughts toward gratitude. The warm and fuzzy feelings will follow. Number four, thankfulness reduces stress. If we can't have what we want when we want it, we get frustrated. But when we stop focusing on what we don't have and begin focusing on everything we do have, our shoulders relax and we invite peace and patience into our lives. Number five, thankfulness cultivates humility. Arrogance and ungratefulness go hand in hand, but the opposite is also true. When we choose to be thankful for the big and small blessings in our lives, we foster a heart of humility and a spirit of graciousness. Number six, thankfulness is contagious. Just as fear and worry are contagious, so is the spread of gratitude. When we're inspired by others' gratefulness, it prompts our own grateful thoughts and actions as well. We can be the catalyst that spread gratitude in our homes, offices, and communities. Number 7, thankfulness produces positivity. When we're thankful, the natural byproduct is that we become more positive people. There are endless daily annoyances that can bring us down and steal our joy. But when we're intentionally thankful, it naturally redirects our thoughts to see the good in other people and in our everyday lives. Number 8, thankfulness promotes generosity. It's tough to be givers when our eyes are always on our own needs. When we are thankful for what we have, we can hold our blessings with an open hand and freely give to others. And when we realize how abundantly we are blessed, we can confidently and joyfully become a blessing to others. Thankfulness, number 9, thankfulness increases likability. It's fair to say no one wants to be around an ungrateful, entitled individual. In other words, entitled would mean somebody that is just looking out for himself. I feel like I'm entitled to this. I have my rights. So nobody wants to be around an ungrateful, entitled individual. Yet we all enjoy spending time with grateful, down-to-earth folks. When you are grateful, people see you in a positive light, and they naturally like you and want to be around you. Number 10. I think this is the best one of all. Thankfulness displays God's character. The Bible is full of passages on gratitude and thankfulness. It's used in commands, parables, and prayers. This quality is important to God. So when we actively practice gratefulness, we become more of who God created us to be. Plus, we also get to connect with Him through our thankful thoughts and prayers. Unlike talent, gratitude is something that's freely available to all of us and completely within our control. It's not a special gifting that some people have and others don't. It's not a feeling that floats through the air at the end of each November. It's a choice. Every day we get to choose to be thankful and to experience the side benefits of gratefulness all year long. I really like that. Thankfulness is a choice. It is my choice. It is your choice. It's not, like she says, it's not like talent, you know, where you have been given talent. But thankfulness is a choice. Just like salvation is a choice. We have to choose. God gave us choice. So we have to choose whether we're going to believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior or not. Whether I'm going to be thankful or not. Or if I'm going to be discontented, I'm going to gripe and complain. You know, she said in number 1 that thankfulness improves relationship. How many of you enjoy listening to somebody gripe and complain? I don't think any of us do. But you enjoy when someone expresses gratitude. When someone is grateful, when someone is thankful, you enjoy that. It's a pleasure to be around a person like that. Thankfulness creates contentment. You know, a contented person is a pleasure to be around. That person is going to be a giving, caring, sharing person. Thankfulness feels good not only to me, but to the people I come in contact with. When you have an attitude of gratitude, it makes you feel good and it makes the people around you feel good. Thankfulness reduces stress. You know, there's probably not much that keeps the blood pressure up more than frustration. You know, I'm so frustrated with this thing. And that really, frustration is so many times is from an unthankful heart, an unthankful attitude. You know, when we can choose to let go and give God thanks, you know, that blood pressure drops. It just changes the perspective. And the peace of God can fill us when we let go of the situation, no matter how bad it is. We let go and we let God. We can be thankful and God can fill us with His peace. Thankfulness cultivates humility. I don't really think you can be a really thankful person unless you realize your neediness. Your depravity, who you are. Yes, you are created a special person by God for a purpose, but without Him, without Jesus Christ, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus said. And we need to remember that. Remember that God is the giver of every good and every perfect gift. You know, I don't have anything to offer of myself. It is only Christ through me. I am so needy of Jesus Christ, of the Holy Spirit. Life is not about me. It's about God. It's about others. Thankfulness is contagious. Inspire others by your graciousness, your gratitude. Thankfulness produces positivity. You know, this whole thing about positive thinking has probably been and will continue to be blown way out of proportion. But when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit and has the gratitude that comes from God Himself flowing out of his life, that is a good kind of positivity. You know, that is the right kind of positive thinking. You know, this other thing of positive thinking is if you believe it, you can do it. Well, that's not always true. Thankfulness promotes generosity. You know, the gripers and the complainers are the ones who tend to be misers, you know, hoarding things to themselves. This is mine. You think I'm going to share? No way. But thankful people are giving people. Why? It's because they realize that it's not mine. It belongs to God. Well, of course I want to share. It's God's. God gave it to me. I want to share it with you. Praise God. Thankfulness increases likability. You know, when you are truly thankful, people will want to be around you. They will want to be your friend. And it, well, for one, is because you will be a friend. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. Thankfulness displays God's character. And like I said, I believe this is the best one of all. True sanctification, you know, justification is to be freed from blame or guilt. That's what happens when a person is born again. When God does that work of regeneration and puts a part of himself within a person, that is justification when you are freed from blame or guilt. Sanctification is a continuing, a walking with God, God working in our lives, allowing things to come in our lives to sanctify us, to make us more holy and more like him. So true sanctification is to become more like God in the way that we live and think. You know, when we display God's character in our lives, with the attitude of gratitude that flows out of us because of the Spirit of God within us, that is what makes the Christian life attractive. You know, when people see that joy that is flowing out, that's what makes Jesus Christ, the Christian life, being a disciple of Jesus Christ, attractive. You know, when we just have this unthankful thing, yeah, we're supposed to be a Christian, but, you know, life is just so blah, that is not attractive at all. I'd like to look at Luke chapter 21, the first four verses. Two different attitudes displayed here. In Luke 21, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up, Jesus looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. The two attitudes, you know, you can imagine the rich men, you know, throwing in a whole handful of coins. I'm assuming they didn't have paper money back then, but, you know, throwing in a whole handful of silver and gold, and it rattled as it went in, you know, and drew attention to them. But Jesus said that they were just giving of their abundance, their leftovers, their extra that they had, they were giving. Didn't really make a big impact or hardly any impact on their lives. But yet they probably, you know, did it to be seen more than because they loved God. But the widow here, Jesus said, when she put in her two mites, which I'm not sure how much that is, but not very much, probably like two pennies in our day, Jesus said that she put in more than what they all did. because he said she gave all of her living, basically everything she had. I believe she did it because she loved God, because she was thankful that God had given it to her, and she wanted to give it back to God instead of the unthankful attitude of the rich man. You know, I've got plenty. I'll give it so people will look up to me. You know, an unthankful attitude. Colossians 3:15-17 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." What did our verse in our Sunday school lesson say? "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Remember to look for the good in every situation. And remember to give God thanks for the good in that situation. And sometimes the good may not be in the situation itself, but in what it will bring about in your life. That may be the good, which will enable you in turn to be an inspiration and encouragement to those around you. And there's more good, and good multiplies. Remember, like Chester said, the good is ever so much stronger and greater than the evil. There is so much more good out there. But so many times with an unthankful heart, we see the world through black glasses, if you will, and we just see the darkness and the evil. Instead of having a thankful heart, Spirit of God, and we see the world, we see it through God's eyes, the mind of Christ, and we see it the way God wants us to see it, and we see the good. "In everything, give thanks. It is the will of God concerning you and me." Let's kneel for prayer.